Hello and welcome to this week's message from Michelle Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
So, I love Old Testament history. Who loves Old Testament history? Anyone? Okay, that's three of us. Who went to Sunday school? Okay, cool. So I'm kind of want to go on a little bit of a journey this morning because God has been speaking to people for mankind all the way through history, but it all links together. And so it's not that God is just speaking then or God is just speaking now, but actually God speaks all the way through history and we can learn something through history. So I'm hoping that those of you who didn't go to Sunday school will kind of get a bit more of a grasp of the Bible, but also see that some of the most phenomenal stories that we read in the Bible have been so incredible that even our filmmakers of the day have actually got on board with it. Because I love it when they go like, oh, that's a really cool story, let's make a movie. And so hopefully this morning, even if you didn't get that history or you haven't been into the Old Testament, maybe you'll get a grasp of something of the bigness of God and something of how his strategies worked all the way through history. So we're going to start right at the beginning. Actually, I could do with some help. Iona, could you help me? Because I could do with the blue tack putting on. So we're going to start at the beginning of creation. So creation began, and we read the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. And this was the first part of God's master plan. And Iona's just going to put it up here. And then we're going to go across the board. So I don't think we actually need the paper. Okay. Right. Iona's going to do this. This is good. My beautiful assistant. So we have the beginning. I think it might be easier to move the paper, darling. So we have, well done, give her a clap. I don't think these guys over here can see it now though. I'm going to move this because I don't need it just at the moment. Okay, so we start off with Adam and Eve, and then who knows who this guy might be? An old man looking at the stars. Who? Abraham. So why was Abraham looking at the stars? So Abraham couldn't have a child, and God made him a promise that his children would be as a descendants. His descendants would be as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the seashore. So this is a few generations after Adam and Eve. And then we come to, so some of you that didn't go to Sunday school might recognize this one. Who's this? Joseph. Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, because it was such a cool story that they didn't even just make a movie out of it. They made a whole show out of Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So by this time, Abraham's had lots of children. God's given him a promise. And this is now, God said, these are going to be my people. You're going to be my people. So a few generations later comes Joseph. And Joseph gets sold into slavery. So you remember the story. And then he becomes a very important person in Egypt. And then there's a while goes by, and the Israelites become so numerous. They become so powerful in the nation that Pharaoh gets really quite worried about it and just doesn't want them to do this. So he does all sorts of horrible things and really subdues the nation. And he has them basically slaves in Egypt. And then along comes a guy called Moses. Moses, Prince of Egypt, for those of you who are just going with the movies at this stage. Moses, God says, I'm gonna empower you to get my people out of this place. And I'm going to take them and show them a promised land. And so Moses takes them all the way through the Egypt, a journey that should have been just a few days, takes 40 years. But then he gets to the promised land and another guy rises up called, sorry, I didn't show you the picture, Joshua. Some of the pictures aren't great, okay? You've just got to go with it. It's just to get a bit of the timeline of history. So then we have Joshua. And Joshua and Moses, both, there was some incredible similarity to their stories. Can you tell me what it is? There's one thing they both did that was like, really? You'll have to speak up because I'm a bit deaf. Yes, exactly. So both Moses and Joshua went through water as if it was dry land. Like, totally amazing. God parted water so they could go through onto dry land. And Iona was going to draw me a little picture of some water at this point. And then history goes on. And so the Israelites are then in the promised land. And they're there for a while. And they're not ruled by a king. So they're ruled by judges. And so there's a number of judges that come up, they rise up when things are going bad and they take over and life's amazing for a bit. And then the people of Israel rebel again and it goes wrong. And then God has to bring another judge up and they rise up and then it's all good for a while. And this kind of cycle goes on and on and on. And who knows some of the judges? Deborah? Samson, Gideon, yeah, so there's some judges there. Those of you who have been into the old movies might remember Samson and Delilah was a bit of a movie theme a while ago. There was also Samson, it showed the picture of where he was holding the pillars up at the temple, and all of the people in the temple were killed because they were the guys that were trying to oppress the Israelites again. And so God would raise up people who were called judges. But then the people of Israel got a bit cheesed off with this, and they were like, we don't want judges. We want to be like everyone else. We want a king. And so the first king of Israel was called Saul. That's right. And Saul reigned for 42 years. We don't know a great deal about the first bit of his reign. We only really read a lot about his reign as kind of time goes on. And then King David comes up. So then we have, the next one, which is, so the guy that anointed Saul was called Samuel. He was a prophet. So times of judges. Are you following me in this? Is this together? So when the judges were around, they were like the people, the warriors, and that did all this stuff. But there was also prophets. A prophet was sent from God to talk to the people. They also, they were just God's voice, basically, to keep people on track. So Samuel was the first prophet that anointed Saul. He also then appointed King David later. So that's King David. And what do you know about David before he was king? He was a shepherd and he killed Goliath, exactly. So we also have Goliath there. So I was kind of hoping we'd have a little bit of a timeline here. Thank you, Iona. You can go and sit down when you've done that. She's great, isn't she? Because I wanted to put some context to the story that I want us to have a look at this morning, because we can learn so many lessons from history. And it's just so incredible when we actually look back in time, we can see what God has done. And I think it grows your faith. I don't know about you, but it grows my faith. When I look back at some of the things that God has done, and I just go, wow, really? What can God do today? And it just helps me to think that God can do things beyond what I can ever imagine, beyond whatever I can do, beyond whatever I can dream. And so the three lessons I've got, I'm going to tell you what they are now, and then I'm going to unpack them a little bit. So the three lessons that I've got for us at the start of 2019, the first one is this: get your FOMO right. Get your FOMO right. So for those of you who don't do text talk, FOMO is F-O-M-O, and it's the fear of missing out. The fear of missing out. Get your FOMO right. The second thing is embrace the new. Embrace the new. And the third thing is grow your seed. Grow your seed. So what can we learn from the history of Samuel? Well, we're going to look back to 1 Samuel chapter 8. And we're going to read it from verse 1. And it should hopefully come up on the screen behind me. But if you've got your Bible, then do please turn to it. 1 Samuel chapter 8, it says this: when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba, but his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, and they accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from this day, from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." And then he unpacks what the king would claim. It talks about the king taking the daughters to wait in the palaces. It talks about them taking the best of their sons, the strongest. Instead of being like looking after the family, they were going to be sent to the palace. They were going to be sent as soldiers. He talks about the fact that they were going to tax them. There's going to be taxes. Jason mentioned tax. The tax is going to come because the king needs to be able to have a palace and the king needs to be able to have money to be powerful. So he unpacked all of this, what God said would happen. But the people refused to listen in verse 19 to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations." with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles. And so the people of God, they'd missed out what God was doing. You see, they wanted a king to be like everyone else because they saw the nations around them. They looked powerful. These kings, they looked victorious. They looked like they could fight mighty battles and win. They looked like they could rule a nation and make a great nation. And so the people of Israel, instead of seeing what they had in God, they were looking. They had this fear of missing out. They had a FOMO for what other people had. And they hadn't realized the cost. And even when Samuel spread it out and spoke it out to them, they didn't realize what it would cost, but they didn't want to be different. And they were prepared to sacrifice. Incredibly, if they'd looked around, they would have seen that the nations were actually afraid of them. The nations around Israel, when they knew the stories of what God was doing, they were afraid of them. You know, when Joshua and when Moses crossed, well, when Joshua crossed the sea into Canaan, they were like going, what's happening? These people of God, they're here on our doorstep. You know, if the people of Israel had looked back, they'd have seen that God fought the battles for them. They would have seen that actually the nations around them didn't have what they had. But the Israelites missed what God was doing. I wonder where you're at today. I wonder what you're more interested in, what you're more focused on. Are you looking at what God is doing in your life? Are you looking to see what he wants for you? Or are you looking at what is going on around you? Where's your focus? Is it on what your neighbors are doing? Is it the things about your profits and your work, your business? Is it self-fulfilling or even just happiness? Or are you thinking, what is God doing? What could I be missing? If I had my FOMO in the right place, if I had a fear of missing out on what God was doing, would my life be as it is today? Or would my life be different? Would I be allowing him to love me and inspire me? Would I be allowing him to empower me? Would I be allowing him to prompt me and send me to places, maybe even new countries like Chile? You know, what if you could get your FOMO right? And I think if there's one thing that you could just take away from this message this morning, if you don't hear anything else, I would love you to hear that one thing. Get your FOMO right. On New Gen Sunday, we had some great messages, and as I was prepping, three of them came to mind. The one that Lizzie spoke of, which was all around this idea of being still. Because, you know, getting your FOMO right starts with being still in God's presence. It starts with allowing God to speak into your life. You know, Hannah Robinson carried it on at night. She said it's about making that decision at the beginning of the day to prioritize that diary time with God, to maybe miss a bit of sleep or whatever. And then Dave Harrison talked about the healing he'd found in God and in church. You know, it's about being in God's presence. It's about looking for what he's doing. And just so incredible to hear testimonies of these guys, these younger guys, these people that are just getting into preaching and just saying, actually, I want to get my FOMO right. I want to make sure that I want my fear of missing out, not to be a fear of missing out on what other people are doing, what's going on around me. I want to make sure at the beginning of my day that I'm plugged into God. I want to prioritize my time listening to his voice and hearing from him. I want to be where God's spirit is working. I wonder in 2019, are you more interested in what God is doing on the earth than what else is happening on the earth? Are you open to his power and prompting? Are you open to his power working in you? What if the people around you had a FOMO of missing out on what you're doing? You know, if we're so plugged into God, what if those around us were like going, I want to be with them because I know wherever they are, God's working. I want to be with them because I know God prompts them. And I know that if God's going to speak to me, then you know what? He could use them to speak to me. I know that opportunities are going to open in front of me because I'm surrounding myself with people who are more interested in God than in other things. And I just love that idea. I just think what an incredible thought. And so that's my first point. And then time went on, if you go back to the history, and Saul was king for a few years, and then it all started falling to pieces because Saul disobeyed God. He disobeyed God because of fear. He became afraid of the people around him. He became afraid that God wouldn't come through. He became afraid of what other people thought of him. The Bible says God rejected him as king. Saul took his eyes off God and put them on others. He continued his life fearful of others, fearful of what people thought of him. And then his mind became this great fog. And if you read his history, you know, he went from depression and, you know, he had to get people to play for him. And we're going to pick it up in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Because sadly, God has to do something different. God says, it's time to move on. And so 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 35 says this, until the day Samuel died, he did not go to see King Saul again. Though Samuel mourned for him, the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. So my second point this morning is this. Embrace the new. Embrace the new. Samuel was grieved and mourned for what had been. You know, he looked back and he had to let go. And, you know, maybe he felt he'd failed because it was his sons that were supposed to carry on, you know, in his mind, the family line and to be, you know, looking after the people and directing them in God. But, you know, maybe he looked back and he just felt, God, I failed. And now I anointed this king and now he's failed. And, you know, what is going on? But Samuel had to let go of what could have been. He had to stop living in the past. And, you know, sometimes there's a time of mourning. There's a season that we go through when we have to let go of things. But then there's a time to look again. There's a time to look again. And at the beginning of 2019, maybe it's your time to look again. Maybe it's your time to believe again or to trust again. Is there something today like Samuel, maybe that you need to let go of? You know, maybe you had a dream. Maybe there was something that you thought was going to be your future. And God's saying, it's time to look again. Maybe it was a job that you were in that you thought this was the path you were going to take, and God's saying, it's time to look again. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe there's something in your life that is holding you back. Maybe it's stopping you moving forward. Maybe it's a hurt in the past that you're holding on to, and God's just saying this morning, look again. Look again at me. Or maybe it's something that you're watching on the internet or on TV. Maybe it's an ungodly friendship or relationship. Maybe it's something like that that's holding you back. And God's saying, look again, embrace the new. Or maybe you're just dissatisfied. Maybe you're in a season where you kept thinking it's going to be okay. When this happens, it's going to be okay. When that happens, it's going to be okay. Maybe you've been kind of looking to get out of something and God's saying, I want you to find me in this season. I want you to embrace the new in this season. I want you to find me in this season. As I was driving to church this morning, it was foggy. I don't know whether you kind of drove through. It looked all muggly and misty, and I don't know what other words you could describe, but it was like it was all closing in. And then as I looked forward, it was like the clouds opened and there was light came down. And it was just so beautiful. And I just think, you know, sometimes we can be muddling along like this, and God's saying, I want you to embrace the new. I'm here. I'm here right in the middle of where you are. And I just want you to embrace the new. Stop looking around at all the mess. Stop looking around at all that stuff that's going on. Just look to me. Look to me and embrace the new. Samuel had to let go of the old and walk into the new. Because God wanted to send Samuel to anoint David as king and to establish the royal bloodline of Jesus. You see, this is Old Testament history. But then if we carry on a number of generations, we get to the star over the stable. We get to the manger, we get to the cross, and then we get to us, you and me today. See, this isn't just old stories. This isn't just something that was there just to, you know, pass the time. This was God's masterpiece. This was God's perfect plan. And God wanted to send Samuel to anoint David because he knew Jesus was coming. What could God have for your future? In 2019, what good could God have for you to walk into? Maybe as you put down that dream, God's going to give you a bigger dream. Maybe as you put down the attitude and hurt, God's going to give you wholeness and peace. Maybe as you put down that stuff that you're watching, those addictions, maybe God's going to find that satisfaction in him. You know, instead of that mist, that light that came through the cloud, that's what God has for you. Maybe instead of that relationship that maybe you're clinging on to is actually God's got a new family for you. But most of all, God's got for us all to live in his presence. Most of all, God wants to fill the emptiness with his love. You see, with God, living with him is all about freedom and hope. With God, there's always more. Because as the story carried on, you know, when Samuel went to Bethlehem to anoint David, he went to the town of David. We've been singing about it at Christmas, right? We've been singing about once in Royal David City. So Samuel goes to anoint David, which is going to then take us forward to Jesus. And so chapter 16, verse 10 says this. Jesse, so that's David's dad, had 7 sons passed by Samuel. For Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for David and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Then Samuel went to Ramah. So Samuel goes to anoint David as king, and he goes into his dad's household, and there's all the brothers there. And Samuel looked at all the brothers, and he was just like, "It's none of these. Like, it's none of these." He looked at the oldest, he looked at the strongest, he looked at, you know, the ruddiest, he looked at those that just looked so impressive. But God said, "It's none of these." You see, David's father didn't even think David's significant enough to bring him into the party. Samuel's coming to anoint one of the sons, and David's in the field looking after the sheep. And I don't know how you feel this morning. Maybe you don't feel very important. But I just want to say, you have got no idea. You have got no idea. David had no agenda. He was in a field looking after sheep. He had no expectation. But God saw something within him. Seeds of destiny and purpose within David. And if you continue reading the story, you read that David was willing to go wherever God sent him. He left everything. He went to the palace. You know, he was basically trained by God for a number of years before he came king. And it said in that passage, the Spirit of the Lord came on David in power. And later on, David is described as a man after God's own heart. The worship team are going to just come up behind me. But I don't know what you kind of feel like, whether you know, like David, that you have destiny and purpose in your soul. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are God's workmanship. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, in the Old Testament, it seems to be that God uses individuals, and there's just individuals that are kind of raised up. But in the New Testament, it says that we all have the Holy Spirit. You know, God says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind." Because it's not just for the odd one. It's not just for the pastors, the connect group leaders, the team leaders. It's not just for the head teachers or, you know, the prime minister. It's not just for those people that seem to be the ones that kind of are looked at on the platform, but it's actually for all of us. We all have within us the potential to do what God wants us to do. We all have hope and life within us. In my readings over the last few weeks, I've been reading about a seed. And do you know when you have a tiny seed has potential in it of roots. It has the potential in it of branches. And it has the potential in it of fruit. But all it is a tiny, tiny seed. And what stops this happening? Simply a lack of nutrients. It's a lack of the soil. It's the lack of the water or the heat and the sunlight. But the potential is still there in this seed. In fact, I read a story about a basket of seeds that were in an Egyptian pyramid for 4,000 years. They were there for 4,000 years. And one day a tourist asked the guide if they've ever tried to plant one of the seeds. And the guide said, yes. Someone once actually took a few seeds and planted them. They were wheat seeds. And even though they'd been dormant for 4,000 years, they grew into healthy stalks. When they were planted and cared for, they grew and they produced the fruit that was in them. I wonder what today, what kind of soil is in your life? I wonder if your soil is hard and stony or if you have a soft heart. I wonder if you're looking around blaming everyone else for your circumstances or if you're just saying, God, I'm here and I'm willing. Just let that seed grow. I wonder if you're living just always thinking it's going to be better when I get a new car, when I get a bigger house, when I get a smaller house, when I get more money, when I have children, when my children grow up, when I have more hours in the day, when I have more, when I have a different relationship, when there's a different person in my life, or when I have a new job. I wonder if your hands are so full of stuff that actually what God wants to pour in, what God wants to give you, there's no room for. Will you be like David, with no agenda? Will you have a heart that is soft, like his, ready to be satisfied by God and filled with his Holy Spirit? How much room is there in your heart for God? Will you allow him total access in your whole life? Will you be less bothered about what others think? Will you have a fear of missing out what God wants to do this morning? Instead of living in the past, what could be, will you live in the present? Will you live in the future of what will be, what can be in God? Are you open to God changing everything? Looking to him first, looking to his future, and embracing the new. I don't know, maybe you feel like, when I describe the fog, maybe that feels a bit like your life. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in circumstances and situations that you wouldn't choose. Maybe you feel like you're in compulsion just to do stuff. Maybe you feel like every day is just a bit like a treadmill. It's like one thing after another. You know, God wants you to surrender all of that stuff. He wants you to surrender the fear of what other people think. He wants you to surrender thinking you have to do stuff. And the beauty of it is, when you do that, it's like the sunshine comes through the cloud. I've asked the guys to sing a song for us. It's called New Wine. It's a song of basically emptying ourselves. It's a song of putting down and surrendering all the stuff I've talked about this morning and allowing God to bring that light through into our lives. It talks about us being empty vessels, carriers of his Spirit, so that he can come and fill us with his new wine, his Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.